Turn to Galatians. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Hear the word of the Lord. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So tonight we'll be looking at faithfulness as a fruit of the Spirit. I think broadly speaking, as Christians, we tend to use faithfulness as sort of a catch-all term for anything that is spiritually good. But to give us a concrete sense of the word faithfulness and how it's typically used in our context, I want to give us three main ways or three aspects of faithfulness. And the first is longevity. So you may think of an older man or an older woman who's been serving in some capacity for a long time, whether that be in work or at church, and you would call that person faithful. Perhaps they've been through hard trials, perhaps they've suffered much, but if they've persevered over a long time, we say that they would be faithful. Or if you were to put it in a sports context, if any of you have been Detroit Lions fans for the last 20 years, and if you're still a Detroit Lions fan, we would call you a faithful sports fan. So faithfulness has an idea of longevity. Second, faithfulness has an aspect of discipline or consistency. You can think of somebody who wakes up early in the morning, who goes to the gym, who works hard in their work, and that person is faithful and consistent. And finally, faithfulness has a connotation of presence, someone who shows up. I was reading a news article the other day from Vatican News, and it was titled, Faithful Pay Their Respects to Pope Francis. And so many faithful Catholics were showing up to the funeral of Pope Francis to pay their respects. You might also have a friend who's been with you at late hours in the night at a time when you're in need, and that person is faithful. These three collectively describe somebody who is trustworthy and reliable. But in order to understand faithfulness as a fruit of the Spirit, we need to go back to the source, to the perfect standard of faithfulness, the one who produces faithfulness in us believers, and that is the perfectly faithful God. So now at this time, I'm going to read 2 Timothy 2, 11 to 13. The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Scriptures are replete, everywhere you turn, with statements and phrases about the faithfulness of our God. And this is a good exercise if you're reading through the scriptures to find passages that point to the absolute faithfulness of our God. And I want to read several of these for us tonight so we can get a sense of the perfection of God. So let me read several. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. The Lord sits enthroned forever, judging the peoples with uprightness. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. He knits you together in your mother's womb, and he carries you to old age and gray hairs. He says, "Fear not, for I am with you." Jesus Christ is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. In him, all things hold together. He upholds the universe by the word of his power. He endured the cross, despising the shame. And lastly, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Is this the God you know? Is this the God you serve? Or is the God you serve the only one, the one who only shows up in times of trouble, whenever you need something from him? Or is the God you serve the one who changes his mind to conform to whatever is trendy or popular in the culture? Or is the God you serve the one who approves everything that you do because he actually thinks a lot like you do? I think some people have the tendency of reading this passage in 2 Timothy and reading it as if it were a happy thought. If I'm faithless, then he's faithful to me. But this isn't about you. They've missed the point. The next phrase says, "For he cannot deny himself." This text proclaims God's perfectly consistent, unchanging, trustworthy, reliable, and faithful character, which he reveals in two ways, in his justice and in his mercy. So first, let's look at his justice. It says, if we deny him, he also will deny us. Brothers and sisters, there is no way to water down or excuse or compromise on the sober reality. The wages of sin is death. God will by no means clear the guilty on judgment day. He will maintain his holiness in denying everyone who has denied him as the one true God and refused his gracious offer of salvation and grace. But God is also faithful in his mercy. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? What has God said? What has God spoken to us that he will fulfill? Well, consider Romans 10:13, which says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Or in the Gospel of John, Jesus says, everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. In 2 Timothy 2, if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. This saying is trustworthy because it depends on a trustworthy God. I wonder, do you ever find yourself doubting the promises of God's mercy? Would you rather listen to the philosopher who says that the God of the Bible is cruel? Or the scientist who says the God of the Bible is dead, that there is no God? Or the humanist who says that if God is love, he must approve everything that humans do? These are not trustworthy sources. Do not doubt God at his word. Rather, depend on him. Depend on his promises. For he is the only faithful God. Let us next consider the phrase, if we are faithless. You might say, if we are faithless, aren't we faithless? Isn't our very nature faithless? God is a God who reigns from the beginning of time to the end of time, and all in between. And yet my life, I only live for maybe 70 or 80 years. I am inconsistent. I am selfish, self-absorbed. Jesus Christ lived a perfect life. He resisted every single temptation, and yet I give in to sin every day. I can hardly go a day without finding something to complain about, something to indulge in. Our God is present everywhere. He is omnipresent. He knows all things that are taking place. He knows every thought that crosses your mind. But I am limited in space and time. I allocate my time poorly. I am lazy. Do you see the vast chasm that stands between our faithful God and we as faithless people. And in our foolishness, we have turned our own way to our own sin. Now, in a culture like ours, we would say that we can always make up for our mistakes. If you've ever been on a sports team, I'm sure you've had this experience where you have been responsible for your team's suffering an embarrassing loss. Perhaps you've made a big mistake in the game. And your coach might tell you, might look at you hanging your head and say, pick yourself up, forget about it, move on, we'll get him next time. There's always a second chance. I know also if you get a speeding ticket, often you have the chance to take a remedial driver's course to avoid getting points on your license. We say no matter what your mistake was, you can always make up for it. With hard work and diligence, you can undo it. And I think we're tempted to think the same way about God. I know I've been faithless, but starting tomorrow, I'm going to make it up to you, God. I promise that I'll read my Bible every day. I'll never miss another Sunday. Or I promise I won't set anything inappropriate before my eyes. Or my thoughts, they'll always be directed towards God and considerate of others. God, won't you be so pleased with me? But the reality is that your faithlessness has condemned you before God. And no amount of faithfulness can undo the guilt that you have incurred. So what is our hope? The only way we can stand before a faithful God and live is if we have died with Christ. If we have died with him, we will also live with him. Earlier in Galatians, Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. When you stand before the judgment seat of God, what will you claim as your salvation? Will you say, I have been crucified with Christ? It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Or will you say, God, look at what I've done. Look at what I have to offer for you. Do not deceive yourself. God has told you to depend on Christ for your salvation. So now you might ask, well, what place does faithfulness have in the Christian life? If it's not going to earn me salvation, what's the point? As with any fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness is not a prerequisite for entering the kingdom of God, but it is a necessary outcome for someone who has died with Christ and is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Paul understands this in 1 Timothy 1:12. He says, I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service, though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent. Now you might ask, what is it about a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent opponent that's faithful? How can God judge him as faithful? And that's exactly the point. In spite of Paul's rebellion, God declared Paul as faithful so that he might carry out God's appointed calling. And the same is true for us. God makes you faithful to fulfill the appointed calling. So what are these appointed callings that he's given to us? For Paul, it was to share the gospel to the ends of the earth. But for us, I see two realms of calling that we've been appointed to, that God will make us faithful to do. And the first is the capital C calling, the calling to eternal life, to salvation in Jesus Christ. If you look again at the text, it says, if we endure, we will also reign with him. Some of you might be daunted by the idea of keeping the faith for the rest of your life. I remember as a teenage boy, Often these thoughts came through my head. I thought, what if I get bored of Christianity one day? Or what if something better comes along? What if persecution forces me to give up the faith? Do you struggle with any of these doubts? Well, those of you who are married, you once made a vow. You didn't promise to love your spouse until someone better came along, or until you didn't feel like it anymore, or until marriage became too difficult. No, you promised to have and to hold, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish until death parts you. And our God has made a far stronger promise to us. In Romans 8, 38 and 39, Paul says, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." My friends, our God's faithfulness perseveres beyond death. He will not let the evil one have you. He will raise you up on the last day. This is our God's promise to you. But that doesn't mean that the Christian life is a free ride, that you have no responsibility or accountability. Equipped by the Spirit, you must be faithful to fight sin, to endure suffering for the gospel, and to wait with eager expectation for the coming of our Lord Jesus. Many of you are familiar with the verse in 1 Timothy. Paul says, "Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." This is your calling, Christian. This is a hopeful calling. But he has also appointed us for lowercase c callings. These are the daily roles and responsibilities in which we must serve Christ. This includes your career or your schooling, your family and your relationships, your marriage. The Spirit produces faithfulness in us that we might carry out these callings, whether small or great, for his glory. On New Year's Day of 1832, the American Presbyterian Samuel Miller wrote a series of resolutions, and I want to challenge you with these 8 resolutions that challenge us to live a faithful Christian life on the daily. He says, "I would resolve to be henceforth more devoted to Christ than I have ever been. 1, to be more careful in improving my time. 2, to ask daily, Lord, what will you have me to do? And to seek to know my duty, whatever labor or self-denial it will cost me. 3, to be still more careful than before in regard to my diet, guarding against every kind of excess. 4, that I will direct more attention than ever to the eternal interests of my children. 5, that I will try to make every conversation in which I shall engage as useful as possible. 6, that I will direct more attention than I have ever yet done to the precious cause of missions, foreign and domestic. 7, that I will endeavor to profit more by the deeply spiritual and admirable example of my wife. And lastly, 8, that I will hereafter endeavor in all things to regard myself as a consecrated man, as not my own, and as bound unreservedly and forever to be devoted to the glory of God." Are these the kinds of commitments you are willing to make? Is this how the Holy Spirit works in you day by day? Husbands, Will you commit to loving your wives sacrificially and caring for their emotional, physical, and spiritual needs? Children, will you work faithfully at all the work that you are given to do? Will you obey your parents without complaining and grumbling? Will all of you keep watch over the amount of media and TV programs that you consume? Will you search out a friend to be present for them, to pray for their needs faithfully? Will you seek to know your God better through prayer and the Word? Will you do these things not to earn God's good favor, not to compare yourself with other Christians and say, Lord, look how much better I am than that other person, but rather to display the fruit of the Spirit in you, that God has given you a renewed heart. So as we come to an end, strive for faithfulness in all of life, in the big C calling and the little C callings. If you find yourself drifting or doubting or despairing, take hold of our faithful God. There is no one like him. Our rock is not like the other rocks. He will never give way. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are a faithful God, that you have judged us faithful not because we're better than anyone else, not because of the things that we've done, but because of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Father, we ask that tonight you would work faithfulness in us, that we would display our salvation day in and day out, that we would be more faithful in our callings. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us sing.